Okay. Now, I don't want to pick on the men, but there's a joke that's told, but I could honestly say that I can identify with this, that there was a married couple going, and this could be us, although it wouldn't be because my husband knows his way around, but they're on their way on their annual leave and they decided that they were going to go to Broome. But they ended up in Darwin. And they ended up there and someone said, they rang home and they said, what are you doing in Darwin? And they said, we thought you were going to Broome. And the wife said, well, because we took the wrong term, our husband wouldn't ask for directions. Now, I don't know about you men, I don't know about you women, but I know from experience and I know speaking to many women, men don't like to ask for directions, do they? They really don't. And even it occurred to me thinking about this message when Muriel and I were going to the camp, well, we've been for quite a few years together now, it's a bit tricky at one stage. And we came off Ballarat Road at an early turn off, and we came off, and because they're doing the roads up, it was like this great circle of roads, and we ended up in a garage with a dead end. And so Muriel had the notes out and everything, and I said, there's a truckie, let's ask him how we get back on the freeway. So not a problem to women, we just went down the window and asked him, and he said, oh, no worries, you go up there and turn. And of course we found it and we went. But I'm sorry, guys, but if that was a man, he'd say, don't worry, I know where I'm going, and off he goes. I believe that GPSs have been created for men, so that men have their own little GPS, they can plug it all in, and they can get directions and know where they're going. But sometimes even the GPS tells them something different. Instead of stopping and rearranging it, they try. It's part of a man's ego, I suppose, and his leadership in the home that he wants to forge forth and think he knows where he's going, and he doesn't always, does he? Yeah, good on you, Noel. You're agreeing. You're a brave man. You're agreeing with me. And I know that we've been married many years, and as I said, my husband's very good with that, usually with directions, but he can get mixed up too, and I'll say, how about we are, oh, they're probably not even locals, they wouldn't know where they're going either, so we're not asking them. And so we need to know at times that we need directions, and in our life in God we need direction. And so often we go off in the wrong direction and we don't ask for directions. We need someone to show us the way, but instead we'll do everything within our means to refuse and acknowledge that we need help or to seek help. And there's a little story in the Bible that I've always really liked, and so I felt led to bring it tonight, and that's from Numbers 22, verses 21 to 31. Numbers 22, 21 to 31. And it really speaks clearly about directions from God. Verse 21, Balaam got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the Moabite officials. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, it turned off the road into the field. Balaam beat him to get him back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path through the vineyards with walls on both sides. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it, so he beat it again with a stick. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it lay down under Balaam, and he was angry and beat it with a staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to make you beat me these three times?" Balaam answered to the donkey, "You have made a fool of me. If only I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now." The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" "No," he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed down and fell on his face. so often we don't see. My question is tonight, are our eyes open to see the direction that God is calling us to go? Or are we going our own way? Each one of us, God speaks individually to, and He's laid a path for each one of us. But so often, we can start off on that path and then we want to detour. It can be many things that make us detour. It can be something that's glistening, something that takes our attention, and so we'll go off track. And all right, sometimes little detours are okay, we can get back, but sometimes, like the couple on the holiday, we can get so lost that we find it hard to come back to where we're going. God's desire is that He wants to guide us in everything we do, not only where our feet go, but where our minds go, where our heart is, where our hands are, what we listen to in every area of our lives. At first, Balaam was just guided out of the way, but God tried to bring him back into a direction. And we feel we should be in control, don't we? We're people that have lived in the flesh for so long. Even as children become saved, when they're children, as they grow older, they need to make often adult decisions. And it's not always on salvation, but it's a total commitment to the will of God. It's one thing to be saved, it's another to bow down and be fully committed to Jesus Christ and the leading of His Spirit. We know as parents, we love our children. And often when they're very little, life can be easier because we have the so-called authority and control. And we can tell them, and they will listen because they usually look up to mummy and daddy and think mummy and daddy know everything. But when they become teenagers, they start to stand in their own will and their own way. And we know that's good, that we need to let them grow and make their own decisions. But sometimes they make bad decisions and they're heading in the wrong way. And so we want to correct their path. And so as a loving parent, we try to guide them and talk to them and lead them. But sometimes they're very stubborn, aren't they? And if they stay stubborn, that stubbornness goes on with them until there's a greater correction. It says in Romans 8:14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And so we need to be led by God because we are sons and daughters. And sons and daughters need to walk in obedience, need to walk in correctiveness, need to walk in humility. And then we see that the animal added pain by smashing Balaam's foot against the wall. Now that must have really hurt Balaam, but the donkey did that because he could see what Balaam couldn't see. And he was trying so hard to get his attention. And God sometimes allows adversity and difficulty to come into our life to try and turn us around. And we just focus often on the circumstance and we say it's unfair and we try to struggle against it rather than see what God is trying to tell us. Even last week, as we had iron and clay here, which was wonderful, and then afterwards they had difficulty with their vehicle. And straight away one of them said, "The enemy's coming in." And we said to him, "No, it's not always the enemy. God may be bringing this to teach you something or to obstruct you from going further on." We never know when God is going to use something to teach us something or to stop us from going in a direction that's going to be harmful. We either trust God or we don't. And so if the initial guidance fails with a teenager, the parent resorts to some kind of deterrent, like grounding them or restricting them in some way. It causes uneasiness, but sometimes it gets the job done. God disciplines those that He loves, doesn't He? And we know we have to discipline our children, but why do we struggle when we think that God is disciplining us or trying to teach us in some way by bringing some circumstance? So what I want to say is that when things come into our life, we really need to understand and be familiar with God's voice so that we know, is it God speaking to us or where is it coming from? We've been going through in Woman to Woman about the armour of God and about knowing about listening to the Spirit of God, knowing how to judge when it's the voice of God that's speaking to us. But you see, if we don't spend time with God, we won't be familiar with His voice. If we don't read His word, we won't be familiar with how the Spirit takes the word to teach us and guide us. And so we will often take the wrong path, or when we are shown that we're going the wrong way, we'll fight against it, and we're actually fighting against God, not against the enemy. Job 5:17 says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore despise not the chastising of the mighty God, who blesses you by correcting you. Don't get upset with him, but yield to him." Yield to him. And finally, the animals stop walking and lay down. And eventually, God will let you go your own way. He will say, "Well, I've tried everything. You've got to go that way and get hurt." And you know, I often think about, as I said, when our children are small, we run and we save them. As our children get older, sometimes it's like we have to see them walk on cut glass. And we try to guide them away, but they won't listen, but they're too big for us to pick up and lift away. So we have to watch them walk on that cut glass for them to understand, so to speak, what is being done. So this happens when we insist on being in control. Now, we know that Jesus Christ died to give us freedom, and in a sense, he has given us control of our lives, but under his control. He has asked us to yield to him, not the way of our flesh, not the way of our mind, not the way of the world, but to yield to him and to have the authority that he desires to give us, so that we walk on the path that he's caused us to walk on. Because he doesn't want to see us suffer. He doesn't want to see us banging our heads against a wall when we get to the wrong place at the wrong time. So when parents have done all they can do, we have to sometimes step aside, don't we? Lovingly. And it can be the same with one another. It can be husbands and wives. It can be someone in the church that will guide and try to bring some sort of correction, some sort of understanding, some word from God. And then it comes to a point where we just have to step aside and let the person go on. Now that grieves us. It grieves the heart of a parent. It grieves the heart of a wife. It grieves the heart of a husband. It grieves the heart of a sister or brother to see that happen. But there are times when we just cannot force someone. We have to step aside and let them make their own decision. We can't push. And so it's very hard, because we want to protect those that we love. But if there's no awareness of God, like Balaam, he couldn't see. His eyes weren't open. Why? Because he was so focused on what he was doing. And we get like that sometimes. We get so focused on what we're going to do. And it can even be in the area of disagreements. We can have a disagreement with one another and we just won't yield. We won't yield to see the other person's point of view. We're just so focused on my way. Instead of listening, if we would stop and listen, then we might see the credibility of the other argument, or see the substance in it. But you see, pride gets in, and I want my way, I want to do what I want to do. And then frustration comes in, and before you know, there's separation. And God wants us to come and talk and reason together and to share together and to be able to know exactly what is the right thing and what is his will in all circumstances. And if we're fighting and struggling with one another, then we won't find that, will we? And we know that God uses miracles to help guide us, because here we have Balaam's anger caused him to overlook God's miracle. Can you imagine what you would do if an animal spoke to you? If a dog or a cat — we don't have donkeys hanging around our backyard — but I was thinking of this when I was thinking about this message, and I was thinking about my son up on his property and how close he is to his animals. And John goes up there and he just loves the cows. And I thought, just imagine if one day one of the cows opened their mouth and started to speak to them. You'd get an awesome shock, wouldn't you? And you'd think that that would be enough for you to think, hang on, here's something supernatural is happening. A cow can't speak. How can this be happening? And you would fall down and say, God, you know, what's going on here? But you see, the first thing we do is resort to thinking the devil's here. That cow is filled with the evil spirit or something. But you see, we need to stop and think what's being said to us. And sometimes it can be that people can say something to us and we might not have a high regard for that person. we might see them as less than us, or we might see them as unacceptable. And so we think God couldn't speak through them. And so we don't listen. We turn away. You know, I was reading a story the other day about, and it's a true story, about a man who was a deacon in the church, and he really loved God, and he used to bring his family along to church, and this day he was on duty up the back of the church, and it's certainly not a story about here, it was a story I read, and all of a sudden the door opened and in came this man, and the deacon turned around and looked, and he saw this rather shabbily dressed man, and it was late, the service had started, and the man thought, oh, I hope he doesn't come and sit next to me. But he did, he went and sat next to him. And so the singing was over and the message was on, and so this man sat down and he looked to smile he turned to smile at him, and of course this guy looked away, he didn't want to. And he focused on his shoes, and he looked at his shoes, and he thought, this guy mightn't have much money, but it costs nothing to polish his shoes. Wouldn't you think he'd have cleaned his shoes? And this guy had rather big feet, and so they had to stand up for something, and then they sat down. And as they did, this guy's dusty shoe touched this deacon's shoe, and he was really uncomfortable, and he sort of pulled his foot away because he didn't like it. Anyway, when the service was over, this man went to the deacon and he said, oh, look, thank you. I want to thank you for allowing me to sit next to you. He said, and I want to apologise. I saw that you noticed my shoes. He said, you know, I'm out of my luck at the moment. I've lost my job, and my family and I are staying with friends, and it was too far to walk for my wife and children. I've just walked 5 kilometres on an unmade road to get here, and I cleaned my shoes before I left, but by the time I got here, they were dirty. Can you imagine what that did to that man? It made him crawl inside, and he thought, Lord, forgive me. We're so quick to judge, and this man was trying to show love to this deacon, and he didn't want to see it because he'd already made his mind up. And we can be like that. We can have preconceived ideas and make our mind up about people and about situations. And so Balaam didn't believe that it was God speaking through this animal. I don't know what he thought. But you see, the Bible tells us too that when somebody gets so stubborn, or if somebody gets enraged, they lose all reason. We can lose all perspective because all of this takes over. We give way to the flesh, and the flesh takes over, and boy, if the flesh takes over, it's not pretty. And so we can't see reason, we don't hear anything. And so I believe that's how Balaam was, because he was whacking this faithful donkey that it had been faithful and carried him everywhere because it wouldn't do what he wanted to do. And I can just imagine, you know, we read about it and we think he hit him, but I can see this man was getting in a rage, in an absolute rage. And that's when sin enters in. And that's when we will lose control and we can't be spoken to. So how could he have taken this miracle so nonchalantly, we say. But you know, we can do that too. There are miracles all around us that we don't always see. We walk around with our eyes open, but our inner eyes closed. We don't always see. We witness miracles every day, every day. And yet we take things for granted. When a child's born, it's a miracle. Seeing at nature and trees and animal life and birds, but even the colours of the sky and the clouds, but most of all seeing one another. We're miracles. And when we see change in one another, that's a working miracle. We are works in progress, and we need to be seeing those miracles, not judging and seeing things with our own preconceived ideas, but rather looking to see. And as Muriel shared about this lady, I was so thrilled because I shared a room with her. Now, I've known her for years, but she's a lady, her and her husband, they're round John and my age, I think a couple of years older. But they're very, very quiet sort of people. And she's a very stately, tall, very thin lady. And she gets around and you'd think, you know, she's very nice, but you'd think she'd be rather bland. Anyway, when she got up to tell this story, it was like, and it was in the first day, so I hadn't sort of spent a lot of time with her in my room, but boy, was I in for a shock. Now, I didn't have preconceived ideas other than that's how I had assessed her. Well, she got up and started telling this story, and she was delightful. She's a storyteller. She had us in hysterics over just ordinary events in her life. She just made it all come alive. She could write books for children. She's just amazing and so entrenched in the things of God. And she told us her story and the things that had happened to her and how she'd gone overseas and served God and the way God spoke to her and told her the next step and the next step and miracles that happened in her life. But she told it with such a flair and such a joy. It was like just most of us thought, where's that been hidden? But you see, when you spend time and talk to someone, when you give opportunity for someone to share their life, well, then I had the joy of spending 2 nights sleeping there. Well, didn't we cackle? Because it was like everything sort of an adventure with her. It was just beautiful. So that's a miracle, seeing something come alive in someone. And so we know that we can't always be like that, but we need to stop and listen and hear what's in the heart of one another. Give one another an opportunity to express that personality that's there, that realness that's there. But we see there are miracles every day. It is said by scientists that if you took the information going on in your body and put it in a book form, the pages would be so many they would fill the Grand Canyon. You know, the workings of our body are a miracle. And as I've shared many times, I think that just about every day. I stop and think what it's taking to keep me standing or walking or thinking or moving. It's a miracle. When I sit down at the computer, I don't even have to think. And just recently I received a couple of emails and they're those mind game things. And I was so excited because I got 95% at one of them and I thought, that's a miracle. Miracle that I could do that, but it's also a miracle how our brain works and how our eyes can focus and function so quickly. We are walking miracles physically and then the miraculous power of His Spirit within us. And you see, we're not donkeys. We can speak and we need to speak and we need to alert one another. We need to bring direction to one another, but always in accordance with the Word of God. We should never speak our own word, but we speak direction. You know, I see many people in counselling, and whether they're from outside of the church or inside, they'll come with different things, as I've been myself in those situations, but it's always the same. They need direction. We all need direction. We need direction of where to go. We need direction of how to think. We need direction of how to choose. We need direction to really get in touch with the Spirit of God. So as much as God has taken the responsibility to guide us, we have a responsibility as well. We have to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to His guidance. The truth was there all along. Balaam just chose not to see it because he got in a frenzy. Once you lose it, you've lost it. Once you lose it, you've lost it. And you see, I hear people say, I couldn't help it. They made me so mad. That made me so mad. No, you allowed yourself to get so mad. Take a breath. Invite God in. The Spirit of God's there to bring that. Now, we can all become a little frustrated, but not to this point. If we start to lose it, then that's our choice. It is a choice, and we need to understand there are consequences to our choice. And so, there is none so blind as those who cannot see, or those who choose not to see. So his stubbornness had kept his eyes closed. Is your stubbornness keeping your eyes closed from the direction of God? Romans 2:5 says, because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath when his righteous judgment will be revealed. Stubbornness can be a real problem. Stubbornness is hard to convince, persuade, or to move or to bring action to. And so have you ever seen a show on television? I'm sure you have. There's that many cops and robbers and all those sort of shows, and you see these guys, and some of it is not real. It doesn't happen like that every day, but they've got to do sensation for television. And they'll run up and they'll kick a door in. They'll run up and yell out, "Police here," and they'll kick and smash the door down. And someone's front door. And so it's not easy to repair a door. It's easier to knock and call out or try and open the door. It's a lot harder to pick it up. In life, we should look towards the doors God is opening instead of trying to impose our own will by kicking in to get what we want. And we can be like that. We can be like spoiled children. Instead of allowing God to open the door, Him showing us how to open it, we try to force our way in, because also we're very impulsive and we're very selfish. We want what we want when we want it. Balaam fought to get his own way. If he had continued going his own way, it would have led to his destruction. But God is trying to lead us as He did him. He has a plan for our lives, and if we are fighting His will to get our own way, then we're bound for destruction as well. Now, I'm not talking that we'll lose our salvation, but we'll go in round and round in cycles and circles and then have a lot to repent for that was unnecessary. Above all, the Holy Spirit is trying to lead us. We need to yield to Him. We need to listen to His voice. The Spirit could be leading you to make a change in your life, a change in your job, a change in where you live, change in many things, to raise you up to leadership, to challenge you to take a new position, whatever it might be. But He wants to lead you into a different direction. Are you listening? Are you ready to yield? Or are you saying, "No, I can't be bothered, I want to do it my way"? God's plan for us all is to diligently follow Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord, by His Spirit, wants us to have the mind of Christ, but that means yielding my mind, my will, to His. Are you prepared to do that? His entire direction for our life can be found in His Word, and His Word is truth. It is power. And the Word of God says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and rely not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." He will direct you to fulfillment, to promise, to hope, and everlasting joy. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. We praise You for the authority of Your Word. And Lord, we ask that You might continue to yield our hearts, that we would not be like Balaam, that we would not be so set on our agenda or where we want to go, but Lord, we would ask You to direct us. We would ask You, Lord God, to show us the way, to show us the plan, to show us where we need to yield, to show us where we need to grow, and to show us, Lord, where we need to go. So, Father, we just pray that You might impart Your Word to us tonight, and that above all, Lord, we would see that You can speak through all things to us, that we would have our eyes and our ears open to see and to hear the unexpected, the unusual, and never ever put You in a box, Lord, where You can only do things one way, because You will come and do extraordinary things when they are needed. So, Father, may we always have that expectancy with our eyes open, our ears open, to see and hear Your will for our lives, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank You, Lord.